Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
Over the last few weeks, Sue and I have come across this scripture, Psalm 5, verse 3. But we've read it now a few times in the Passion version. So if you don't have access to that version, that's okay, because I'll just read it to you now. Find it. And right, here we go. I'll read it to you in the New King James version, first and foremost. And it's wonderful in this version too. I mean, I've got it highlighted. I've got it underlined. It's something that really spoke to me quite a few years ago. But I never really, the way it's been just communicated in the Passion version is absolutely beautiful. It says in New King James, it says, "My voice you will hear," Psalm 5 verse 3, "My voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up." In the Amplified version, it says, "In the morning you will hear my voice, O Lord. In the morning I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart," which is absolutely wonderful. I've highlighted and underlined that one as well. But in the Passion version, it says this, "At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice. As I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart." Isn't that beautiful? Mm. The Hebrew word for prepare is arak, and it's a priestly term for lighting the altar fire, preparing a sacrifice, and laying it out in order upon the altar to be consumed. Now, I want to just throw a couple of scriptures in there, and hopefully it will make sense at the end, but if it doesn't, then I trust the Holy Spirit will work something out. But I'm going to use this as my kind of anchor text for this evening. And I really don't want to take long because I want the Lord to do what he needs to do after I have spoken. And I'm sure he's actually going to start doing it while he doesn't need my permission. He would just do it anyway. So I want to I want the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do. Romans 12 is a scripture that many of us will know very well. Romans 12. Chapter 1, Romans 12, verse 1. I'll read from the New King James Version. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, and this is not just to our men, it's also to women, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And I'll read one more scripture before I launch into teaching, bearing in mind the meaning of the word prepare that we just read in Psalm 5, verse 3, arak in the Hebrew, which represents the priestly ministration as the priest prepares the sacrifice, the offering of sacrifice, a burnt offering, and lays it out in order for the fire of God to fall. In actual fact, in order for fire to be applied. But let me just read this to you. Leviticus 9. So Leviticus chapter 9, if you don't know where Leviticus is, get to Exodus, sharp right. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says this. John the Baptist is speaking to the people all around him, multitudes who had come out from all over Judea to be baptized by full immersion. And they inquired of him as to who he was, whether or not he was the Messiah, and rightfully so, he said he wasn't the Messiah. And he then goes on to say that the one who is coming after him is mightier than him. So Jesus, who is coming after John, because John would be the forerunner of the Christ, is mightier than him. So much so that he, John, wasn't worthy to tie or untie his sandals, to stoop down and tie his sandals. John then goes on to say that, "Indeed, I baptize you for the remission of your sins. I baptize you into water or in water for the remission of your sins. But he who comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire." Now, the thing is, the context of that particular scripture, when it talks about the baptism of fire, whenever you see the baptism of fire applied, especially in the New Testament, it actually speaks of judgment. And the context here is a twofold, it serves a twofold purpose. What we see in Matthew 3, 11, it does speak of a judgment that is to come upon the world, because the judgment that is to come upon the world will be a judgment of fire. But it also speaks of the person of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit descending upon the life of the believer, or of anyone really, who has willingly offered themselves to be a living sacrifice. Because this fire that comes upon you as a child of God, this fire of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you as a believer, is an indication that your offering, which is your very life, has been accepted by God. There are two instances where, in times of old, the priests would prepare the offering. And what would happen normally is when they prepare the offering, there was a burnt offering, there was a sin offering, there was a peace offering. You know, there were multiple, there were five main offerings, but there were multiple offerings that the priests of old would offer before the Lord throughout the course of a week and throughout the course of a year. And in every case, it will have to be the priests themselves who will apply the fire in order for the offering to be consumed. So this was a fire that was man-produced or man-made. But on this occasion, at the very end of in the instructions that the Lord gave to Moses regarding temple worship and regarding the sacrifices, we just read it in Leviticus 9, 23 to 24. When the offering was ready, when the sacrifice was made and the offering was ready, it wasn't man's fire that was applied to consume the offering. It was the fire of God. It was he himself who came down in fire. The fire came out from the Lord and consumed the offering, indicating that it was an acceptable sacrifice. Interestingly enough, literally as we go into the next chapter, we see the unfortunate incident concerning Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron. And they offered what the scriptures can only describe as profane fire. They came into the Lord's presence not in a humble way, but in an irregular way. And they offered a fire, they made an offering unto the Lord that wasn't acceptable. It wasn't appropriate. And some of you would know the end result. The fire of the Lord came out again, and this time it consumed them. And sadly, unfortunately, it took their lives. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. Why? Because He is our God is an all-consuming fire. But you see, when the fire of the Holy Spirit comes upon a child of God, it's not something that we should, this fire is not something that we should be concerned about or fearful of. But this fire is a cleansing fire. It will purify us of everything that is not of Him. This fire is a light giver. It is a light bearer. It will expose any area of darkness in our hearts, even in the deepest recesses of our hearts. You know, the things that we try to conceal even from ourselves, they are so secretive, we try to hide them from ourselves. God says, I see you. Because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness can never extinguish light. Light will extinguish darkness, but Amen. Never the other way around. So the fire of God cleanses. The fire of the Holy Spirit, it brings to light the things that we are trying to conceal from man, trying to conceal from God, and even trying to conceal from ourselves. It doesn't make any sense. Fire revives. It revives, it awakens something on the inside. It brings to life things that were dead. It brings restoration. It brings healing. Fire represents a new beginning in many respects. Fire consumes. It not only cleanses, but it consumes. It consumes all those yucky things that we have in our hearts. All those things in our soul that are contrary to God's best for us. Fire injects an urgency. When the fire of God is on you, you're focused. When the fire of God is on you, you're not distracted. You recognize that you truly have a purpose that you have got to fulfill. You recognize that there is something upon your life that cannot be wasted. It cannot be squandered. It is significant. It is so crucial. It is so important to God's plans through your life. This fire is a fire of the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord, that was the one incident that we read of in Leviticus 9:23-24. That was the one time. The other time was again when Solomon had now rebuilt or built the temple. He built his temple, and at the very end of this, we read this in 1 Samuel 7. At the very end of this, 2 Samuel 7, I beg your pardon. At the very end of this, we see how when the offering was ready, when the sacrifice was made ready, the fire of the Lord came down, and in almost like in the exact same way, when the glory came and the fire came, the people fell down and they cried out and they worshiped God. In the same way with Solomon, when he had built or finished building the temple and he laid out the sacrifice before the Lord, it wasn't the fire of man that came. It was the fire of God. It was the fire of God that came and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar. And then the glory came, the fire came, the people saw it, and they fell down on their faces and they worshiped God when they saw such an incredible sight. So now let me bring this to my point. We read this beautiful, this wonderful text in Psalm 5:3, and it says, I'll read it again. Each morning and every sunrise, you will hear my voice. So not every now and again. The psalmist, which in this case is David, is saying, Lord, this is going to happen every single day. Every single day, like I shared this morning, you know, is the Holy Spirit the first person you speak to? Is he the person you speak to the most throughout the day? Is he the first person you speak to in the morning when you wake up? Is he the person you speak to the most throughout the day? And is he the last person you speak to before you close your eyes to sleep? The Lord is looking for a people who will seek him diligently, who will pursue after him faithfully. You know, we find ourselves in seasons where maybe we have a good time and we're having a good patch and we are really full on with the things of God. And all of a sudden life happens and then we can go days without spending time in his presence. We can go days without getting into the word. We can go days without seeking his face in prayer. We can go days without having our own personal and private worship time. You know, and this just carries on. And you know something? We should never ever feel condemned. We should never ever feel guilty about that, because none of those things represent Jesus. But there is a conviction of the Holy Spirit that has got to come. Why? Because the longer we stay away from the Lord's presence, the less the intensity of the fire of his Holy Spirit. And you know something? When the Lord does not burn with his fire, with his zeal, with his love, there will be a different fire that will burn on the inside of us. It's a profane fire. It's an irregular fire. It's an unacceptable fire. And this is something that God cannot permit. For your sake, for his sake, and for the sake of the kingdom. You see, there are people waiting for you to be truly set ablaze by God. When they see what is happening in your life, they will, as it were, fall down and worship God because of the wonderful, wonderful radiance and glow of the presence of God upon your life. Usually when I teach in this way, I can almost sense, I can sense in my spirit that for some of you, maybe for many of you, such a reality is so far removed, but you have no idea just how close you are to encountering God in such a life-transforming way that you become the transformer, the revelator, the deliverer, the healer that he has called you to be. You are so close to entering into that moment of God meeting with you and reminding you again just how acceptable you are to him. If you will only believe, and if you will only do what he's asked you to do, which is to offer your life, your whole life, you know, and this is everything. You know, when Paul talks about that in Romans 12, you know, it's everything. Your life is everything that you are. Offer your life as a priestly responsibility. Because we are a nation of priests and kings, aren't we, to our God? We are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. 1 Peter 2:9. So you are all priests. You don't need to go to Bible college. Okay. You don't need to belong to a particular denomination. Thank you, Lord. You, male or female, it's irrelevant. Educated or uneducated, rich or poor, whatever your color, whatever your creed, it doesn't make any difference. If you are a child of God, you are a priest. And as a priest, you have a priestly duty to offer up sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Now, in this case, you're not killing bulls and goats, because Jesus ultimately has done that for us in that he became not only the Lamb of God, but he is ultimately our high priest, our great high priest. So we don't need to go through that ritual again. But there is still a need for a daily sacrifice. Not many believers understand this truth. There is still a need for a daily sacrifice. The offering up of our lives before God as living sacrifices is not something that happens as a one-off. because even the grammar of the Greek in Romans 12, chapter 1, is present continuous, because it follows in the context, it follows into the next verse, verse 2, which is, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's an ongoing thing. You know, it's an ongoing process. And the reason why we have got to present and lay down before the Lord our very lives, every single part of our lives, is because of the issues that we consistently have to deal with. You say, what issues? Well, I touched on this last week. What about the pride issues? What about the fear issues? What about the worry issues? What about the insecurity issues? What about the feelings of inferiority and insignificance issues? What about the rejection issues? What about the pain issues? What about the unforgiveness issues? What about all of those other things that don't look like Jesus? That he says don't look like us either. They have got to be laid out before him. And his fire, the fire of his Holy Spirit, has to come upon us and consume us on a daily basis. So each day, each and every single sunrise, you will hear my voice. And as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar. Every part of my life, I lay it out in order. You know, I say, Lord, this is what's happening in my heart right now. I'm laying it before you. This is what's happening in my mind. My mind simply just needs to be rectified. Lord, I lay it out before you. My heart is not right. I lay it out before you. Lord, this is what's happening to my physical being. I don't feel great right now. Lord, I'm laying it before you. Lord, this is what's happening, you know, in the area of my finances. I'm laying it out before you. Lord, this is what's happening in my marriage. I'm laying it out before you. This is what's happening with my children. Lord, I'm laying it out before you. My relationships, I'm laying it all out before you. Because it doesn't have to be bad for it to be laid out. It just says lay it out because I need to look at it and I need to inspect it. I need to make sure that everything's okay. It doesn't have to be a challenge. It doesn't have to be a problem every single time. But he wants us to lay it all out before him anyway. Why? Because we are to be living sacrifices, acceptable unto the Lord. And we are accepted unto the Lord. He loves us and he accepts us, even just as we are. But he will not leave us as we are. Because in that moment of surrender and yielding to him, and in that moment of acceptance before him, his fire will fall. And anything that the fire of God falls upon can never, ever be the same again.
Amen.
You see, when the fire of God falls, it not only means that you are accepted, it means that you are his. Because that's the one major thing that needs to be dealt with. The self-idolatry. Our insatiable appetite to retain ownership of who we think we are. And it's the one thing in that moment of acceptance that the Lord says, okay, I'm not going to see. This is the thing. He won't force you to present yourself as a living sacrifice. That's why Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, I reason with you. He didn't say, right, on every single morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, you shall present yourself before the Lord. You don't see any of that in the New Testament. You know why? Because we are in a love relationship with God. And when you're in a love relationship, the one who loves does not force the hand of the one who is being loved. There has to be a willingness, a desire to simply say, here I come, Lord. No holding back and no turning back. I am presenting it all before you. You know that all those shortcomings, you look at yourself in the mirror, you hear the chatter of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, all of those things that are trying to redefine you, all of those things that are trying to, you know, tell you you are, you know, tell you who you are, even though that's not who you are, but it's just trying to make you out to be someone that you're not. You know, God cares about all of those things. And it's almost like every single morning he needs to press the reset button. All of that stuff that has accumulated in your heart, in your mind, in your lives, the Lord needs to reset. He just got to press that reset button. That's why his mercies are new every week.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh? His mercies are new every morning. It's day by day, morning by morning. Great is your faithfulness. So he needs to press that reset button because he needs to it's like you're consecrated, but he needs to reaffirm your consecration. And you got to understand that when the fire of God falls, you no longer, again, it's just reminding you, you don't belong to anyone else. Neither does anyone have any rights over you. The only person who you belong to is Jesus. And he is the greatest lover of all. He will love you so unconditionally. He will consume you with his love. You got to understand that his love is the very fire that I'm talking about. His spirit is the spirit of love. His spirit is a spirit of affection. And in that moment of connecting with God again and he with us, There is a re-collaboration. There is a reset that takes place. And it's got to happen every day. Because if it doesn't, the further we come away from that, that's when we have the fear. That's when we have the anxiety. And Paul says to Timothy, you haven't received the spirit of fear, but one of love, of power, and of a sound mind. That spirit... That word spirit is not speaking of the Holy Spirit, but it's speaking of the spirit of a man, the spirit of a person, the spirit of a woman, infused with the very characteristics and the attributes of the Spirit of the Lord, his love and his power and his self-control. That's why that is a fruit of the Spirit. And you got to understand that in that moment of offering up your life once again as a living sacrifice, you're saying, God, here I am. You know, I've been through it. Yesterday wasn't great. Yesterday wasn't great. Last week wasn't great. Last month wasn't great. But Lord, here I am in your presence again. Fire fall on me. It's the fire of your acceptance. It's the fire of your consecration. It's the fire of your love. It's the fire of your renewing. Fall afresh on me. Make me yours again today, Lord. Yes, I know I'm yours, but Lord, show off to the whole world that I am yours. Let me burn that all may see your glory upon my life. Let me burn for you that every principality and power will know that I belong to Jesus. Let me burn on you. Let me burn for you, God, that everyone in my life will recognize that I am off limits. I am too hot to handle. I am too hot to handle. You know, when the fire of God is on you, you don't care what people think about you. You're not interested in people's opinions. You just want an audience of one. That's all you care about. That's all you care about. Just the one person. Two minutes and I'm done. Band, come back, please. It's every day, every sunrise, you will hear my voice. As I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you, and every morning I lay out the pieces of my life, every aspect, every area of my life. Do you know what this talks about again? Ties in with my message last week. It talks about surrender. It talks about submission. It simply says to him, Lord, I realize I can't do this myself. I realize I can't make this happen myself. I will not be able to make this transition myself. It's too much for me. It's too big for me. I can't do it myself, Lord. So I am submitting to you. I am surrendering to you. I am, you know, you can't be any more final than a sacrifice. You know, the whole point of it is dying daily. Paul says, I die daily. And it's incredible to know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ isn't first and foremost here to give us life, but is actually here to enable us to die. When you're dead, you're dead. It's incredible, though, that resurrection power happens on the other side as well. Because we would have been on the altar and the fire would have come. But here we go. Here comes the fear. Here comes the anxiety. Here comes the stress. Here comes all of that stuff that keeps on lingering around. Why? Because they are intrinsic to our human nature, to our fallen nature, which also has to be consumed by the fire of God. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the baptism of fire. It is the life of the crucifixion, the crucified life. And God says daily, every moment, we have to submit, we have to surrender, we have to yield, and we have to say, God, here I am. I'm laying it out before you, every single piece of my life. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. It says, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life and I wait for your fire to fall on my heart, because that really, the heart is the seat of our affections. It is the seat of our love. That's the place. That's his abiding place. That's his dwelling place. That's where he lives. That's his home. That's the place where he transforms you from the inside. And he will not cohabit with anyone else or anything else. For we will serve no foreign god or any other treasure. You are my one desire, your spirit without measure. It's the place where he meets with us. It's the place where there is a constant burning. It's the place of his glory. And the Lord is saying once and for all to his people, stop being satisfied with remaining at the periphery of my love. Stop pretending that you're okay when you're not okay, because it's okay to be not okay in his presence. Stop being satisfied with the mundane when the miraculous awaits you. Stop being content with the superficial when the supernatural is your portion. Because at the end of the day, when he comes upon you the way he longs to, because of who you are, his son, his daughter, because of why you are his chosen vessel to be used for his glory in your generation, in your time, when he comes upon you the way he desires to come upon you, they will see you burn. They will see him on you. They will recognize the fire of God upon your life, and they will bow before God. Not you, they will bow before God. And they will worship him. Now that might not literally happen. It might do, but it might not do. Whatever the case might be, God will use you as his minister of reconciliation. He will use you to be the very connecting factor between him and his lost sheep, between him and the one who has gone astray. They will see you from a distance as the glow, the gentle glow of his glory and his fire burns on you. In a dark age, in a dark time, in a dark world, in that dark place of depression, in that dark place of isolation, in that dark place of self-mutilation, in that dark place of recovery from rape and recovery from abuse and recovery from drug addiction, they will see you. They will see the glow upon your life. You won't need to say anything. You won't need to do anything. They will see the glory of God upon you, and they will run to Him because they will be running to you. But church, now we have a choice. Are we going to be content with staying at the periphery of our experience because we think we're okay? Let me tell you something. I am your senior pastor, and I am not okay. I am not satisfied. I am not content. I want the fire of God because I know what's at stake if I don't have this fire upon my life. I ain't playing no games. We have brothers and sisters who are being thrown into prison, not in South Korea, not in parts of Africa, in our own country, in our own land, in Western Europe, in Canada, in North America. They are being thrown into prison because they stand upon the truth, because they cannot but say what they have seen and what they have heard. They cannot but declare it, because the word of God is a fire burning on the inside of them. It is shut up in their bones. They cannot contain this fire. It has to come out. Too many of us are now walking around with a fire retardant suit, saying, no, no, no. No, no, God. Let alone offering ourselves as a sacrifice. Let me tell you something. The time is coming when that fire is going to be so intense. And it will be the grace of God. It will be the mercy of God. The fire is going to be so intense. It will burn up every fire retardant suit. You can spray as much fire retardant on yourself. That fire will consume you. It will burn you up. And it will burn every aspect of your life. I don't know how many believers you know, but you need to tell them that the fire of God is about to fall upon our nation. It is about to fall upon Western Europe. And it shall not be contained. It shall not be stopped in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It won't be. It cannot be. And it won't stay within the temple. It will burst forth. It will beat down the doors. It will crash through the windows. And the glory of the Lord will cover the earth, even as waters cover the sea. And it will be through your life, child of God. We need to decide what we do. Another sermon? Absolutely. Another worship song? Absolutely. God knows all that, and to be honest, He's had enough of it. What He wants is change. What He wants is decision making. He wants decisions. He wants us to make a decision. I'm feeling the fire of God is on me now. He wants us to make a decision. Which will require life-altering changes taking place in our lives. For some, it might be small changes. You might need to start doing one thing different. One thing different. It might be a big change. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. It is between you and the Spirit of God. But one thing I know is this: His fire is going to come upon you, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready. We're going to ask the fire of the Lord to fall tonight. But let me tell you, it's just another meeting. And I have absolute confidence. And I say this, and I don't say it flippantly, but I say it with absolute reverence, that what God is going to do in your life tonight is going to trigger a life-altering, a life-changing, is going to be a catalyst. And is going to trigger something that will bring a life-altering change. And only, it's just because he wants you. He wants your presence. He wants your time. He wants you. That's all it is. I was talking to one of our young ladies the other day about holiness and the true meaning of holiness. Because this fire consecrates. This fire is a fire of the Holy Spirit, and He is holy. He is a Holy Spirit. And we're talking about this, and I said, this is what the Lord has been saying to me. You know, of course, holiness is keeping ourselves from sin and separating ourselves from and for. But the simple truth is this: holiness is simply being so in love with Jesus that anything in your life that could potentially disrupt that love, the flow of that love, is removed violently, emphatically, passionately removed. This is not just about an altar call. This is about the decision that you have to make when you see the face of the beloved and He says, I am yours and you are mine. Now what are you going to do about it? Because I want to consume you in my passion. I want to consume you in my love. But look at all of this stuff that is now between you and me. Yes, you are my son. You are my daughter. I have saved you. I have redeemed you. You're not backsliding. You're not in any deep sin. But there is so much stuff between us. And that is what holiness is. God, I'm getting it out of the way because I love you too much for these things to remain in my life. So I lay my whole life, the pieces of my life on the altar every sunrise. And I say, God, search me, try me. See if there is any wicked thing in me, anything that will cause you to be grieved, anything that will cause an effect, have an adverse effect on my love for you and your love for me, Lord, and then let your fire come. Let your fire come and destroy and consume, but then let your fire come and revive and awaken. That is why it is reviving and judgment. The judgment, the fire of God for judgment is Him saying, I am judging you now because I'm not going to have to judge you then. And my fire upon you will deal with that innermost sin. My fire upon you will deal with that compromise. My fire upon you will deal with that lukewarmness. My fire upon you will deal with that complacency. It will consume it now. It will judge thusly. You are to be consumed and it will consume you. That is why it's the fire of God. And in the same breath, the same fire that judges and consumes will be the same fire that cleanses and revives and awakens. Thank you, Nigel. Stand to our feet. Make it a bash. I just want to encourage you, just cry out to the Lord as best as you can. If you want to stand at this time, do whatever you want to do. Stand, sit, kneel, whatever it is you want to do. Just reach out to the Lord. Let Him meet with you. Let Him connect with you again. Let Him love you. Let Him reaffirm His acceptance of you. As the person of the Holy Spirit. Remind you again and again who you are to him. Lead us in something deep. Wait on the Lord. Last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, yesterday, this morning, you want the fire of God. I need to just qualify a couple of things. This, whatever the Lord does tonight, will just be a catalyst. It requires, this is a daily thing. It is a daily love connection with God. It is a daily decision that has to be made. God, I am going to change this in my life. I am going to change that in my life. I am going to stop doing this. I am going to start. That's why you have a spirit, not Holy Spirit. You have a human spirit, the place of his abiding, of power, of love, and of self-control. You have the ability to make life altering decisions as you are empowered to do so by the Spirit of the living God. But this is, he needs his church to respond. It's more than an altar call. He needs his bride to respond as he knocks again on the doors of our heart. Don't wait for someone else to go open the door. They can't open your door for you. You need to respond to the lover of your soul. And it's a decision that only you can make. You have to make it tomorrow. You have to make it today, maybe. I don't know. But you have got to make that decision. Otherwise, you will keep on fighting fights you should not be fighting. You will keep on languishing at the periphery of everything that God has in store for you. You will be content with the mundane instead of the miraculous. You will be satisfied with the superficial, neglecting the supernatural hand of God upon your life. Church, this is not you. It is not LWC. It is not the body of Christ. I make an appeal. I just say a simple appeal. And it's just this. You want the fire of God to come upon you. You want his fire to fall upon you. His fire, the fire of His Spirit, then come and present yourself at this altar now, please. Enough is enough, church. You're a world changer. You hear me now? You're a world changer. You are a world changer. You are not meant to be a shrinking violet. You're not meant to be in a closet. You're not meant to be under a bushel. You are a world changer. You are a child of God. God Himself calls you. God Himself chooses you. God Himself commissions you. God Himself indwells you. And you are His minister of reconciliation. You are a bearer of the glory of God. He has given you the right to be a bearer of His manifest presence for the sake of the lost. Let's just wait on the Lord together.